Have you heard of the artist Mike Righteous?
I haven't.
I once at a gig in Sheffield, wasn't my gig, it was a friend's gig, and I asked him, I said, what's the biggest thing you've ever had to overcome to get to the point where you are? This was about 5 years ago. And he said, doubt. He said, there's going to be a lot of people that try and plant the seed of doubt in your mind. And if you let it, it'll grow. He went, so whenever you feel like someone's planting doubt in your mind, or you're putting doubt in your own mind, you've got to rip it out as fast as you can and just overcome it instantly, because doubt is the cancer of creativity. Do you know what I mean? That'll ruin everything.
How did you kind of make that jump of quality?
As you say, like, the style of the Ratons hasn't changed, as in like what we're writing about and that kind of feel and stuff, because this band for me is the success for what I see is because we've been so honest. We're just really, really honest and very transparent. Everything we do, there's no other motive. It is what it is. I want you to imagine me coming up to you and saying we're number one and giving that trophy. I want you to imagine holding it, biting it, feeling it. Is it heavy? How does it feel? Just put that in your brain. We just did that to everybody. It sounds really stupid, but it worked. Well, it helped us anyway.
Firstly, mate, congratulations on the number one album. It was announced like 2 weeks ago. The dust has settled a little bit. Where's your head at with it all?
It's literally gone that fast. Do you know, like, from this year starting, I feel like we're in like November already, because there's so much has happened in these last couple of weeks. But to get to a point now where we've had the number one's happened, we've dreamt about it, we've worked towards it, we finally had it, and now it's kind of, there is a bit of a gap now. It's like, right, what next? You know what I mean? How do we keep moving? So we're just like, just getting back into it, really, and just getting back out there. We've obviously got Australia coming up a month today, so we've got stuff to be focused on. But in terms of like releases and stuff like that, there's always a big gap after you've finished a campaign. So we're just looking to get back in studio and get back out there.
Yeah, for sure. What does that do for you mentally as a group when you say achieve something like, we're talking the number one album, like that's, you know, people can graft their entire careers, their entire lives to even try and get near to that, to get a top 20 album, never mind number one album. Where does that kind of leave you now that you've reached that? Because I know for me, knowing the sort of person I am, I'd be like, damn, I'd get all in my head. I'd be like, what's next? Like, how do we do that again?
Yeah, exactly that. Do you know, I mean, I've been involved in the music industry for a long time. You know, this is my first band. It's not my first attempt, you know. So, like, after years of trying, finally getting to this point, I had kind of this, like, naivety, I guess, that there were a destination, but there isn't. Do you know what I mean? As soon as I woke up the Saturday morning, I had a bit of a rough head because we'd had a few drinks celebrating. I looked inside of me and Trophy were there, and I was like, all right, we've done it. Do you know what I mean? Like, what next? And like, it took me a good few days just to get my head around the fact. You're bursting with pride at the initial start of getting the number one and stuff, but then there is like a bit of a gap, and you are a bit like, oh, what now? Like, we've kind of, we're number, what's better than number one? It's like another number one. So you kind of just, you've got no choice but just to keep going, because I've loved every single second of my career or my journey, if you like, even the failures. You know what I mean? At the time, they don't feel great, do they? But after, you know, you realise all these things just add up to making everything a little bit more special. So just want to get back out there on that journey and keep pushing for, I guess, another number one or a Brit Award or whatever. I don't know. I've never won or achieved anything in my life. So I've got like one trophy, which is going to look pretty sad on its own on a shelf. So I'm going to kind of have to try and get another one.
It's a good trophy to have, mate. When was the moment for you guys as a band, as the Ratons, when you were like, right, I can sack off whatever job I'm doing on the side now and this can be a thing for me? Like, we've got enough money to be self-sustainable and go at it.
I mean, just before lockdown, we'd just sold out the O2 Academy in Sheffield. So that's like one of the biggest venues in our area. And at that point, you start thinking to yourself, you know, how can we take this to the next level? Because working, you know, 9 to 5 or full time, you haven't got you hit a wall, really. There's only so much time you've got. And then it's like that time, money, quality thing. You know, it's like that pyramid, and you've got to like try and kind of just pick two. And at that point, it were like, we're going to have to hopefully do this tour at the minute that we're on at the minute. And then after that's finished, look at one of us going full time, or to then try and bring the others through. And then we got hit with COVID, didn't we? So lockdown happened. And that for us could have been a game changer. It could have ended everything. But it, I just decided after speaking to the lads that I'll just take the dive, and I just did. So I left in lockdown and just put all my energy into not just building the stuff for the band, but also trying to make sure I could take everybody else full time. And I think like about 18 months later, then we were all, myself, the three other band members, and Rich as manager, we like a business, we run it as five. So it's like all five of us, 18 months later, we were full time, and it was just a great feeling, you know, to finally have that freedom. It's scary, isn't it? Because obviously there's that security, but to be honest with you, mate, I lived on the edge all my life. Do you know what I mean? It weren't going to make no difference. You go all in, and if it pays off, it pays off. If it don't, you go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, you've touched on something really interesting there. The idea of risk. For any unsigned band or artist listening now, that they're on that journey to achieve what you guys have already got, or maybe they're just wanting to carve their own path. From your experience, how much do you think risk, true risk, comes into it? Do you have to put your neck on the line a little bit to actually make something of it in this industry?
Everybody's going to be different. You know, every story is different, and I guess timing plays a big part in it. For me, the further down the line you get, the more you're going to have to just take some risks. I remember many years ago reading that like Jay-Z was something like 60 grand in debt, you know, like with all these credit cards and everything, just literally maxing out everything. Don't know how true this is, but the amount of artists that you see that are successful today on a global platform that actually were so much in debt, and they'd risked everything to get where they are. I mean, you don't want people to be... Again, it's just time. I think you've got to take risks, but you've got to have some kind of indication that there's got to be an odd. You know what I mean? If it's 100 to 1, that's fine, but it can't be 100 to nothing. You know what I mean? You can't just go, I think I'm good, let me just sell everything I've got and try and pursue a modeling career. Do you know what I mean? You've got to have some background to back up what you're going to do, I guess. You've got to build your foundation before you jump.
I was listening to a song of yours. It might not be the song you expect me to listen to, but I'm just going to say the title of the song because that's going to kind of inform what I'm going to ask you afterwards. And I just want to know your initial thoughts when I give you the song title, Slice of Lime. What do you think of when you hear that, when you look back on that time, when you look back on It Was All So Monotonous as an EP that you dropped in 2017?
That track was the first track that we released as the rating. And so like for me, it were a point in... Not the band's life, but a point in my life where I kind of like, after all these years of just trying to make something happen and having to start again and hitting wall after wall, I think there really does come a point in, you know, if you're a musician or you're an artist or whatever you're doing in life, I feel like if something kind of just, if you're not making moves to the next level and you're kind of just staying there, because it's so easy to just get stuck in one circuit and be there. And I've done that so many times. So this was like a start again moment with the ratings. We released that track and I can just remember thinking, I really hope that something pays off with this one. I had a good feeling about it, but it was just like that moment of releasing it into the world. It was like, I just don't have to go back again. I don't have to try again. Let this just be the one.
And then when you listen to What's Rock and Roll, it's so interesting because the DNA of Slice of Lime, you know, the music that you were dropping several years ago, is still there. It's the same band, it's the same group of guys, you got that same energy, all the hallmarks of a Ratons track is there, the riffs, the quite socially conscious, borderline comical lyrics, really. I love how upfront they are as lyrics. It paints a picture. That's all still there. But then you listen to What's Rock and Roll, and mate, the production now is crazy good. Like, even like 15 minutes in the algorithm to start, like, it's kind of got this like Biffy Clyro type riff. It's pretty heavy as like an opener, and it just sounds massive. That journey of going from the EP that you were dropping in 2017 to dropping What's Rock and Roll, where do you think some of those major improvements came? Was it just practicing all the time? Was it really taking your time in the studio? How did you kind of make that jump of quality?
As you say, like, the style of the Ratons hasn't changed, as in like what we're writing about and that kind of feel and stuff, because this band for me has the success for what I see is because we've been so honest. We're just really, really honest. It's very transparent. Everything we do, there's no other motive. It is what it is. So I'll give you, with that respect, I'll give you the same, the honest answer, money. Started out with absolutely nothing, recording all those tracks ourselves, and we've invested every single penny that we've made in the band back into the band, so everything we do hopefully is going to show that, you know, we're going to level up. We've just self-released an album, and not just, you know, digitally, with vinyl pressing, CDs, a lot, you know, the marketing campaign that we put behind it. We sold out Magna in Rotherham, 4,500 capacity venue, and we put every single penny from that into this album, so money. Unfortunately, is the other way around it? Probably, I don't know, but just to take things sonically from what we had as, I guess, a bedroom recording. Jamie did a lot of the recordings at the early doors, and he's great. You know, he knows what he's doing, but we didn't have the equipment. We didn't have the right stuff. And to be able to take it into a professional studio and have engineers working on it as well with us, David Watts producing the album, people mastering the album and stuff. It's just, it is, unfortunately, it's money. I think that's the honest truth. Don't play for free beer. Do you know what I mean? Take whatever money you've got and put it back in. It's true. Capitalize on stuff that you're doing. You know, like if you're doing events, make sure it's very easy, I guess, for a young band to get paid £100 for a show and just split that four ways and have £25 behind bar each. You know, don't go home after. You can still have a good time. Do you know what I mean? But you don't have to be spending it. We've always treated like a business. You know what I mean? We are a band of brothers and mates, but we've always treated like that. We were putting, as first music videos that we did, we were all like working obviously other jobs, and we were saving up money, and we were putting whatever we could afford into making these music videos. And everything we just chipped in, and we worked extra hours. You know what I mean? We went above and beyond to make sure we had the funds to do it. And when I say we come from nothing, I don't know if you can you swear on your podcast? We came from fuck all, I'll say it. We've come from fuck all, so we literally had to find the money however we could from hours or whatever you had to do to make it happen, and then put it back in. So whenever we made any money out of the band, we weren't going to go straight away and spend that on, you know what I mean? We still had the same gear on the first gig we ever played. We still had the same amps on stage at Magnet, 4,500 cap. We never bought anything unless we needed it. We were just tight with his money. We saved it up. And then we put it in and just reinvested it. And obviously, when there come a point where we could work full time for the band, things changed a little bit. But you know, right early days, there's always going to be ways to, you know, you shouldn't be turning up to gigs without thinking about what audience you've got there, what kind of merch you can sell. And don't go buying stupid amounts of merch as well. Just buy little bits and build it up. It can be done. We live in proof. When I say we come from nothing, we came from fucking nothing. Do you know what I mean? We literally, the first gig we did, I think we got, and we grafted. We sold, like, we supported Glass Caves, band from this way on. Like, there was mates, and we supported them. We sold, like, 70 tickets, and I think we got, like, £2 a ticket. So we got, like, 140 quid. When you take away your petrol for getting to gigs, you know I mean, you're probably looking at about 120 quid or something that we had left, and it went straight back in. So I feel like it's just that you've got to have, if you're going to be independent, if you're going to get signed by a label, obviously they can worry about that. But if you're going to be independent and you're going to do it yourself, you've got to be ruthless with it. You've got to make sure you treat it. You've got to learn both being an artist and being a manager and being a label at the same time. Let's all be brainless. Let's all just
And what's this that I saw on your Instagram? This was mad. Utility Arena Sheffield. Mate, what? Yeah. That's mental.
13,000, I think, something like that.
Mate. So, musically, I'd say you guys are in an awesome spot. Like, I think you guys are no-nonsense great songs. Ultimately, that's what it's all about, right? It's just great music. Moving forwards, do you see more experimentation heading into other projects? Are you kind of wanting to double down on the sound that you've got?
Yeah, if I'm being honest, just really enjoy what we're doing. Do you know, like, you can look at, I guess a lot of bands, they try and find themselves, or they try, I feel like we did with this band. You know, we started off just doing what we're enjoying and kind of got to a point now when people are saying, like, what's next? It's like, I'm just enjoying what we're doing right now. So just carry on doing that, because I know for a fact, and I've said it time and time again, 5 years ago, if someone had offered me a guaranteed minimum wage contract to do what I love for the rest of my life, I'd have snapped their hands off. Do you know? So to be where in the position we're in now, I'm absolutely loving what we do with the people that are around us, the fan base that we've got, the people that support us are amazing. I won't change our, you know, the people that come and support us, our fans, I won't change them for anything. And there's been times over the years where we've had very little radio play. I mean, we're getting a lot now, which has been great. Radio One have really backed us. But before then, you know, there's times when you've got artists that are getting record of the week continuously on mainstream radio, but then they've only got like 20, 30 people turning up at the shows, whereas we had nothing, but we had thousands of people turning up. And the people that were turning up were people just like me and the rest of the lads. That's priceless. You know what I mean? It's genuine enjoyment. You can't believe that you walk off saying, this is a job. This is what we do for a living. So while ever I feel like that, I'm not going to move the goalposts. You know what I mean? I just want to carry on doing what we're doing.
For sure, man. Yeah, I was driving around the other day and I was listening to Dean and Vicky on Radio 1, and your song just came on. Just out the blue, just randomly. They picked it up. They were like, yeah, it's our track of the week. And it just came on. And for a start, it sounded amazing on the radio, which is always nice. But that must be so sick, hearing your song on primetime national radio. Like, that must be really strange, because, you know, you go from not really playing, not hearing it on radio at all, playing it to small venues, as you say, in front of like 350, 500, 700 people. What's it like hearing it on the radio? Is it weird at first? Do you have to almost like double take to be like, wait, is that my song?
Yeah, you know, like for us, when we first, the first Radio 1 play that we got, we were on Gemma Bradley, and it were like BBC introducing it, and we were on last, and it was really, and you're waiting for ages, and you're like, you really hope, you're like, it's a massive deal. You know, getting on Radio 1, it's a massive, massive deal. But when you're when you first get on Radio 1, it's a bigger deal than it actually is. You know, like in your head, you're really thinking this is massive. And have you seen Gavin and Stacey? Do you ever watch Gavin and Stacey? There's a scene where he's waiting to go on the news and they're all sat around watching and he just like comes on and it's like 3 seconds and he's like, that's it. And that's what it felt like. We all just sat there going, we were just like, what? That's it? Joe Bradley, bless her. Joe Minch, like, oh, that's the ratings. Great. And then we were just like, oh. Then to go from that to like Dean and Vicky playing us the other day, the show, I was listening to that show and that came on. I actually tweeted them saying, do you know what? The way they plugged that song before they played it goes miles for bands like us, you know, because it's all right being played on radio, but unless the DJ's really explaining who it is that you know, if you've never heard us before, then you can quite easily just skim past it, love it or hate it. It's irrelevant at that point. But when the DJ's got out of the way to actually give you some background, tell you who these people are and introduce them, I guess, then it just makes a massive difference. And the amount of people that then will tweet and or comment and say, oh, we've just heard you on Radio 1. They've done the work for you there, which is great. So I really appreciated them too. And how they did. Everyone this week, you know, that's been playing, they've been saying stuff, but I feel like they went above and beyond a little bit with how they introduced us, and it was really nice.
Yeah, no, it goes such a long way. It goes such a long way for sure. So for anyone that's not listened to What's Rock and Roll yet, can you just chat through it in a nutshell? We don't need to do a track by track or anything because you'll be here all night, but like, you know, what can someone expect when they stick a ratings disc on for the first time? Disc? No one fucking listens to CDs. Shut up. If someone streams your record for the first time, what are they expecting?
We would have had a number one if people hadn't been buying CDs, I'll tell you that. I don't know. Just like, it's our style social commentary. You know, we write about what we see and most of it's stuff that we've seen out the window. You know what I mean? It's literally telling stories from places that we've been and places that we're from in a relatable way with, I guess, just try and keep it catchy and witty. That's just, there's no other motive for us. We just want to make stuff that people, we love as live stuff. Being on tour is his favourite part of what we do. So we want them riffs where people can jump around and sing along. And we want people to be able to relate to what it is that we're talking about. So I guess relatability. And if you turn it on and you think, what the fucking hell are you on about? Then it's not for you. So just find somewhere else.
For sure. And what musically, what turns you on? What are you listening to? What inspires you? I mean, no doubt I'm hearing like definitely some like earlier Arctic Monkeys in there, a bit of Reverend and the Makers. It wouldn't surprise me if you listen to those guys. It still sounds like the Ratons. It's unique to you, but I definitely hear that influence in there.
Oh yeah, definitely. Again, back to like the social commentary. In many interviews said that, you know, obviously Arctic Monkeys, they're from the same neck of the woods. You know, we've got Arctic Monkeys, we're lucky really with that to be into that kind of style of music. We've got Arctic Monkeys, there's Little Man Tate, Revenant Makers, Milburn, you know, there's so many artists that have, there's just something about this area, do you know what I mean? And I feel like the storytelling stuff, yeah, I don't know if it's a good thing.
It's a good thing, man, it's a good thing. So I suppose you're at a point now, and I don't know if anyone's asked you this, the idea of a record label approaching you and giving you offers, the idea of not being independent anymore, not having total control where you're doing it yourself, where were you at with that? Do you like the idea now of you've had a bit of success, an offer being put on the table? Where do you stand with the idea of being signed to a major label?
We're not anti-industry, we're just pro-independence, you know, and we never set out the no label, no backing, all ratings as, it wasn't always a choice, you know. When we like every other band, have pitched to labels and we've had sent demos out and we've hoped that people will come and watch this and we've had A&Rs come to a show. It's just never really happened for us. So there's something about us that, obviously, at the time when these people were there that weren't right or they just weren't interested. Same with, you know, your press, your media, your radio and stuff. But it's not that. Not everyone is. It's not like you just deserve it, because you can't just sell out shows and expect that you're going to get talked about and be on front page of papers and get playlisting and stuff. That's not how it works. But there was a point for us where we were like, come on, maybe we should get played now. Maybe someone should mention what we're doing. And it was quite obvious that we were on our own with how we felt about it. So we just had no choice. And we spoke to some independent labels and stuff, and we'd had a couple of offers, but nothing that made business sense for us to not just do it on ourselves. You know, we'd worked up to that point, so we did, and now we've had the albums come out, we've had a number one, nearly, I think, majority of the majors have spoke to us now. They've contacted us. So it's already a thing that they're there. But I don't know what it's like to not be independent. I guess I don't want to ever lose that creative control. Yeah, we want to carry on doing what we're doing. Again, just being totally honest with you, coming from where we've come from, we're not stupid. If someone's... The money talks, and that's a horrible thing to bring up now, but if you can provide security for us and everyone around us as a major label, we're going to have to sit down and talk about that, because this could all be over tomorrow. But what we're going to do with our lives then, you know, what are his families and friends and people that have been helping us, what are they going to do? So it's like, yeah, we'd always have to talk, but in an ideal world, we'll carry on as we are because we're really enjoying it. But if not too much changes and we can carry on doing what we're doing, yeah, I don't know. We're open to conversation. We've built this business. It's like Dragon's Den, isn't it, I guess? You know, we've created this company. We've got this with this band, which is a brand, the Raitons. We've built that up. And yeah, we probably don't need to take the Dragon's money to be able to carry on doing what we're doing, but they can open doors, can't they? So it's the experience and the things that we might be able to have a number one album next time and stay there for 5 weeks. Or we might be able to have a number one. I don't know if I'm asked about a number one in America, but do you know what I mean? These opportunities, things that we probably couldn't really do, not in a quick turnaround. So I don't know. If I'm just being really honest with you, if someone's going to come and say, look, this is what we can offer, and it's way beyond something we could even contemplate, you've got to look at it serious, haven't you, and say, well, what's right for everybody?
Mate, I want to finish with the best piece of advice that you've been given.
Have you heard of the artist Mike Righteous?
I haven't.
I once a gig in Sheffield, wasn't my gig, it was a friend's gig, and I asked him, I said, what's the biggest thing you've ever had to overcome to get to the point where you are? This was about 5 years ago. And he said, doubt. He said, there's going to be a lot of people that try and plant the seed of doubt in your mind. And if you let it, it'll grow. He went, so whenever you feel like someone's planting doubt in your mind, or you're putting doubt in your own mind, you've got to rip it out as fast as you can and just overcome it instantly, because doubt is the cancer of creativity. Do you know what I mean? That'll ruin everything. Do you know what I mean? You've got to believe it with all your heart. You've got to believe that you're going to do it and that you're going to make it. There was not one single second the week that album came out that I didn't believe we were going to be number one. I've fucking dreamt about it. I planned it.
Didn't you have trophies on your screensavers or something like that? Like, proper, we're talking manifesting it.
Yeah, absolutely. We all had it. All, not just us, all his friends, all his family, girlfriends, brothers, you know, his sister, everyone just had it on the thing. They were like, we were making people do it. You know, like, we're literally nights out, like, what's your screensaver? Why have you got your dog? Put this, have this. Why? Because I want you to think about it all the time. I want you to imagine me coming up to you and saying, we're number one, and giving that trophy. I want you to imagine holding it, biting it, feeling it. Is it heavy? How does it feel? Just put that in your brain. We just did that to everybody. It sounds really stupid, but it worked. Well, it helped us anyway.
It worked.
But we did. We honestly, Ben, we believed it were going to happen. We genuinely believed it. And even when we were out doing the signings and we were talking to people and we were saying to us as fans, like in different places of the country, we're saying, do you think we'll get a number one? And they go, I think you could get a top 10 this time. We're like, fucking come on, we're going for it. We're like trying to get them rallied up. It still shocked us, obviously, because you can. Is it strong belief or is it just fucking delusion? I don't know, but we definitely had one of them and it worked in the end.